What up, what up, what up, what up? How y'all doing? It's still me, the one and only KD Otaro, your regular host of the show, The Artmosphere, brought to you by The Pond Collective. For those of you who are new to this place, I don't really blame you, but come on. We're all about life. We're all about young people. We're all about the universe. We're all about creativity. We're all about art. We're all about the business. And we're all about fun, too. I mean, we're not that old. So, yeah, it's not a bad thing for us to have fun, is it? So, and as usual, you know how it is. We vibe. We go deep. We go surface level. We go all around. We touch every part and we try to like understand each other as artists. And you already know how it goes. The usual. I got me somebody special. He's a big artist. He's young, but he's a big artist. So it's kind of one of those artists I call small but mighty, basically. But this guy is awesome. I mean, you look him up on Artsy, he's doing big things, man. I mean, it's not small fry. It's no small fries, man. I mean, I don't know how to hype, but see, I don't even need to hype, man. It's worth speech for itself. So I'm talking about no other than the one and only Ikeora Chisom Chifada. I got the surname right?
Yeah, bro, you did. Bro. I beg. Like, this Queen's English is too much for me.
We'll worry, we'll freestyle out anyhow.
Yeah, this level I did on, man. See, I don't know how to hype after hyping for like, bro. Are you guys like that?
I hope your trip down here wasn't really stressful. You know, the whole Lagos just vibes and stuff like that, man. Traffic even on the weekend.
It's Sunday, so yeah, it's great. We came here, it was nice.
Yeah, that's nice dope. It's dope, man. So like, I know you because we've been through art residency before. I mean, for those of y'all don't know, me and him will go like 2 years or more back. Yeah. And we've known each other for a while because we've been in like a boot camp program before / art residency. But many people who don't really know you, can you just like give us a brief introduction?
Or more. Because the thing now is you need to tell me how you want me to.
Like, just tell us. I mean, people know Ikeora Chisom / Chifada. Let me just go with Chifada for now. So people know Chifada. So just tell us a little more about yourself. Just a short bio.
I hope like so many people will listen to this. And I beg, like, Ikeora Chisom add Chifada.
I remember you said that the first time I spoke to him, that he emphasized on that. He was like, add Chifada. So yeah.
So the thing is, like, a lot of people, you know, they think like the Chifada is outside the name, you know. I think that's a good place to start from. So my dad was an artist, and you know the whole vibe then. My dad had to quit his art to get a lucrative job, in quotes.
Yeah.
Like, being an artist. And growing up, I found art like very early as a child. That was something that I can't answer the question like, when did you start creating?
Because exactly.
I've always remembered that I was
creating. As long as I can remember.
This story, I would have to like do a lot of cut and join because I was talking about Chifada and I don't want to move out of it.
So
the name Chifada is like, it's a tribute to my dad, and it's a very important aspect of like my creative practice. And a lot of galleries, a lot of people, like they try to take the Chifada away, and I want the Chifada to be there because it's something that I fought for. It's like
an identity.
It's like a dream that attached to my name. I feel like it wouldn't be complete without the Chifada.
So that's like saying it's not a nickname.
No,
it's
not,
like part of you now.
No, it's not a nickname, bro. It's a vision. that's what it is to me. It's a vision. It's a reminder to myself, like, you feel me? It's a reminder to myself. If my dad had, like, seen people that he could look up to, I'm sure he would have still pursued his dream of being an artist. So a part of the dream in the name Chifada is me wanting to be someone that can be an example that you can live a dream of you know, being an artist. Yeah, so
true though.
That's what it is.
True. And while I was looking through your website, yeah, he does have a website for those of you who don't know. So we'll put that in the link in the description so you see the website. And while I was going through your website, I kind of like, so you started your career professionally as 18. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot of stuff going like on your bio, like yeah. More like a bio sort of. And how was that for you, starting your career professionally at 18? Because I mean, before we came here, we had a conversation. You're still in school, right? Mm-hmm. So like that, being a student and being a full time artist.
Yeah.
How you merge that? First of all, what are you studying in school? Do people like to know what you're studying?
Okay, so the thing is, I'll start with this story. So my parents, you know, the normal Nigerian parenting, they want you to be. My mom felt like I was too intelligent to be an artist. You know, but I understand now, because she was working so hard to provide food and stuff. So she doesn't understand how, after hustling that much, I would want to be an artist. It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So it has to be something that would pay back, you know. I had to be a doctor or something. Yeah, but somehow, I found my way into convincing my parents that I can't stand the sight of blood. So I'm good with computers, so I'll be a computer scientist. Yeah. So that's the first step. Yeah. So the time came now to write JAMB. I went through the courses. Like, I remember before that, when I was trying to get the money for the JAMB form from my dad, and I was telling him, okay, so I'm going to be a computer scientist. I'll study computer science, but once in a while in school, I'll go to the final department. Yeah, are you still talking about that? sorry. I'm just kidding. Okay, so when I was applying, I was looking out for courses that had drawings, and you know, couldn't go to architecture. I knew I wasn't so good with lines and stuff. But I saw urban and regional planning. It looked like something that was a little bit of fun, like town planning. Yeah, okay. So applied for town planning. You know, the admission came out. I got the admission. Told my dad, I'm sorry, I did not get the computer science. So what we are doing now is urban and regional planning. So my hopes were that when I get to school, I'll have the chance to draw. You know, while doing assignments, I'll also draw.
Yeah.
You know? But then I got to school. My brother.
He choked.
I got to school and the drawings were... So town planning is like advanced architecture. So architects deal with planning buildings.
Yeah.
But in town planning, you have to... You plan the towns and cities and create provisions
so for that's like to fire plant to fire your dungeon architecture. Nah, you went to something way worse.
I nearly lost my mind, but that was the only chance I had. That was my only shot at freedom. And I was like, okay, I got into the university in 2016. So my first year was hell. 2018 was my second year. And it was in my second year I decided, man, this is the space you have. You have to do this now or never. Yeah. So it's crazy. Started with... before then, I was doing, like, drawings. But it was in 2018 I decided to, like, started collecting commission, started being intentional about being a professional artist, studying a lot about being an artist. So it's crazy, but it's still crazy. I'm still in school now, like.
Yeah.
School is...
The school, yeah. School, yeah,
school,
yeah,
school for me is
right,
like
the
being...
Striking
school off. For me is like being in the military, because... Bro, I go to exam halls with my paint clothes.
Wow. Wow. No, that would be... That's like an experience, though.
No, I mean, no, it's not.
Now you think about it, it's kind of like an experience.
No, it's not, because I always get into trouble with lecturers. And they're like, you're a serious student, but you're not taking your life seriously.
The typical Nigerian lecturers and all that.
Why you coming late to class? why am I coming to an exam hall late? You know, those are the things that I have to deal with. I read like a night before the exam.
Yeah, I mean, and then always you have, work, you have, man. Last
you have,
minute.
You have deadlines of delivering works to a gallery, and you also have tests and exams.
Wow.
And you have drawings. I'm talking about massive drawings. Wow. Large-scale drawings. And, like, it got tougher, my third year, fourth year, and we started doing, like, really advanced plans. Like, it was a nightmare. But then, thinking about it, it's even giving me chills, like, going back to school, bro. Nah, it's crazy. Because, and also in school, I'm someone that people look up to, like, for assistance. Yeah. So I have this responsibility in school, and I also have this responsibility to myself, trying to balance all these things and make everything work, bro.
Wow. That's a lot, man. That's a lot.
But I think there's a resilience, and I told myself that if I could make it happen, then I can make anything happen. So there's this kind of confidence that I have now that I think has gotten into my practice that, you know, I can, like, do anything that I want to, you know, yeah.
Okay. That's exciting. Like, bro, it's exciting to listen
exciting.
To.
Yeah, it's exciting because, to listen to.
Because I put myself in that position. I mean, I've always wanted to be an artist. I feel I'm one of those few Nigerians who actually wanted to be something right from childhood, and they actually are living the dream. And getting into the university, I started the University of Benin, it was quite hard, like really difficult. I was like, okay, yeah, I could balance it with the course I'm studying, but you know how lecturers try to like frustrate you?
I'm sorry to interrupt, man, but one thing I learned was that there's no balance. There has to be priorities.
That's the thing.
And like it got to a point where I just had to make my art my priority because art saved me. It saves me. And at the point, I had to ask myself, like, what am I doing? Why am I? It's like having someone that is in love with you.
Did you
and they are putting the person as a side chick.
I almost quit school, to be honest, because I put my career on pause. Like, school wasn't letting me do any. I missed exhibitions. I was getting mails from people. I would like you to be part of this, but the mail comes at the time I'm having an exam. And I was like, is this exam really important?
Yeah.
You know, is it really important? And then you start thinking about it, and it just gets a little bit overwhelming. You know, I paused the career. I had to because it was needed. Because I didn't want to go to school at first, and now I went to school. The career was shaky. Like, what are you doing? Galleries weren't even sending me emails anymore because we've talked to this person. He says it's in school. And you know, this kind of stuff. So I totally relate to you.
I stopped telling people I was in school. So I knew, like I said before, I knew, like, you know, I lived in Lagos, but I went to travel to Futo to be in school. That was my only chance of proving myself to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I had to also prove myself to my family. Yeah, so this isn't necessary, but I just think I just have to put it to show you the hustle.
Yeah.
So I had to maintain the first class, and I also have to maintain a career that has to work for me.
Wow.
So, like,
man, I'm just listening to the, I'm just like, all I'm seeing is responsibilities, goals.
No, yeah, yeah. You know the thing is, my mom knows who she sent to school.
Exactly.
My parents know. So if they ask for my grades and it's something short of their expectations, they know something is wrong. And then they would ask, what's going on? Okay, do you want to study something else? I just had to make it work.
So would you say, like, you're not really pressured?
I'm not.
Like, is there any pressure from any side for this?
There's crazy pressure. There's crazy pressure, like I said, to keep up with the first class. There's crazy pressure to achieve my own dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think to an extent now it's easier because my parents understand that, okay, now there's no stopping him. You know, at this point you can't stop him. But then I also need to like give them the certificates and say, okay, yeah, wow, this is what you wanted, and now you've gotten it. So
that's really insane, man. But I mean, thanks for sharing that, man, because that's like, I feel that's like really, really deep. That's like really, really damn appreciate that, man. But now let's move further. Okay. Let's talk about your works. You know, there's something unique about your pieces that, I mean, whenever I see it, I'm always drawn to it. Mm. And okay, talk about the Boy Without a Silver Spoon, that piece. When I saw that piece, first thing that I'm an artist. I deal with colors. I like a lot of colors, but there's something else. That the narrative behind it, like, could you like just shed a little bit light on it? Just shed a little light on it.
On that painting?
On that particular piece. Like, what brought about that idea? Because usually I don't talk about people's works, but I just had to pick that one.
What brought about that idea for that painting? So that painting, you have a boy running.
Yeah.
Man, that was me, man. No. At the point, I felt like I was in a race, but I did not understand who was chasing me. What am I running from? Like, what's all this pressure about? What am I trying to prove to myself, my parents? There are people also around, like I said before, in school. Like, okay, so they give a project. You know how Nigerian lecturers and like nobody teaches you anything. So just the few people in class are the people that would have to assist the rest. So there are people that are literally looking up, hey, Chief Father, I beg this project, I don't know what to do. And I understand them. And
wow,
like, there are people that, my closest friend, I made a painting of him. I've made paintings of him severally. He would have dropped out.
Wow.
He said this to me, like, he would have dropped out if I wasn't his coursemate, if I wasn't his friend, if I wasn't helping him. Yeah. Wow. And that's an extra responsibility. Because I feel like I can't if I decide, okay, now like fuck school, like, okay, sorry, can I?
Yeah, sure. I mean, feel free.
Okay, so if I say, man, I'm done with this, I can't deal with my parents, yeah. But then there are also other people that I just can't deal with the thought that I've left these people behind. So that was the mental state I was trying to capture in that painting.
Wow.
And the title, The Boy Without a Silver Spoon, there are two paintings. Yeah, there's one and there's a two. That's the second painting from the two paintings. That first painting is very personal, and that's why I haven't shared it.
Yeah.
But that second painting was like me, the responsibilities and everything, trying to run away. And, like, the whole concept of life being a race.
Wow.
And then, also, at that point, I was dealing with some outward stuff, like, some dealers that were, like, you know, when you have this dream of getting to a certain point, okay, like, I'm trying to be careful with my words. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have dreams of, like, if I work with these people, I would be set for, you know, my career would get to a point But then you work with these people, and then these people are trying to rip you off.
Oh,
and then
my
it drains your creative energy.
Exactly.
And you're like, is this what I've been fighting for? Like, that's what the whole painting is about. Like, it's very personal, and I think this is the first time.
I think the more you explain, it's like layers. Yeah, you're just opening layers, and that's really awesome.
Like, is it all worth it? All the responsibilities, all the hustle, all the trying to be here, you know. So like, that's what the painting is about. And without the silver spoon, it's a reference to the book.
Yeah.
The story about the boy, you know, trying to come up, like, it came from nothing, and he had to constantly prove his honesty to people.
Yeah.
So like, that was,
that's an old book. I don't even remember anything.
Yeah, I remind you. I think I'll
probably go look for that book and you refresh my memory, you know, like that.
Prove his honesty to so many people. He had to keep proving himself. You know, so
that's really beautiful, man. It's really beautiful. I mean, like, having this conversation with you, it's like just opening more and more layers to who Chief Father is. I'm definitely going to be calling you Chief Father, man. And I think the fact that you have all of this going on with you and you keep pushing, even at a pretty young age, is mind-blowing. It's inspiring. I'm telling you, man. Like, I mean, I know there are times where you just, like you mentioned, you just want to, like, quit, like, man, I should just leave all of this and just focus on one chapter or just one page of my life. And you still have reflect back because of the kind of heart that you have, man. That's big, man. That's big. That's really huge. And I think a lot of people out there should, like, take something from this, man. Because, you know, being human is one thing. But being a human that people could, like, look up to is something else. And that's quite beautiful. No, listening to you share all of this, man, it's like triggering something in me, yeah. something special. And I kind of, like, appreciate all of that. But moving on, though.
So before we move on,
yeah,
I want to give you, like, a shout-out to Oscar.
Yeah,
because when I was I was looking for people that were, like, had the same struggle with me.
Yeah.
And I discovered Oscar. I knew Oscar before then, but then we became close. And at then, Oscar was studying architecture.
Yeah.
And was also doing his art. And I remember when I first went to Oscar's hostel, and I saw his architectural assignments one side and his portraits one side. Oh, man. He was looking so stressed, bro. Like, when I met Oscar, like, the introduction and stuff, we had a conversation, and he was sitting on the bed and he slept off.
Wow.
He might have forgotten. I wish he was here. I wish he's here. He might have forgotten. But I can't remember that. Like, that's like a memory that I keep reflecting on. If this guy could do it, then I can do it too. Like, so that's like the importance of having people to look up to. That's why, like I said before, like, something I want to be someone that people can use as an example.
As an example. Yeah. That's beautiful.
If I hadn't met Oscar, man, probably
something
just,
else.
I would have said after, okay, you know what? It cannot be done after school.
Yeah.
That's
crazy,
man.
Probably
after school, I would go to look for a job. I will now be a banker. Or
that's dope, man. Okay, moving on. I was saying, today's episode, we're all about identity.
Okay.
And I didn't even introduce that at first, but you've opened layers that I never really thought was there. And I'm pretty sure people who know you don't really know most of this part about you. And it's quite beautiful. It's just like an honor that you're sharing this with us. And that's really, really dope and all that. So, like, I want to, like, ask this question. It's more like a juxtaposition of a certain thing. So, talking about identity, I see it in your works and all that. What would you say is your, something you'd look up to when you're preparing your process? You know, before you create an artwork, there's that process you go through. So, like, what's that thing you bring into the picture to still maintain your identity as Chief Father? That people see your work and be like, this is Chief Father's work. Whether the style is changed, but the narrative or something is just speaks Chief Father in it. How would you say you bring that into motion when you're planning your work, like your process and all of that?
Man, as an artist, being yourself is like one of the most difficult things. And it's difficult because it's very easy to do. It's very easy for you to lose yourself
while trying to be yourself.
No, wait. I'm going to take this again. Like, being yourself is very difficult because losing yourself is a very easy thing.
Wow.
So say for
that's word. That's word.
Say for example, as an artist, you're on Instagram. This is a very basic example. And you go through artworks. You internalize, like, so many things that you see online. And then you reflect those things in your work, yeah? And there is this question I keep asking myself about what identity is. So I'm in a residency. I'm currently in a residency. And I raised this conversation one time. So if you say your identity is who you are, then who are you, like, really? Because, like, you are constantly, like, influenced by so many other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are so many factors that also, like, affect, like, the image that you project. So you can project an image, but that's not necessarily who you are. Exactly. So now let me come back to, like, the question of my process. What I try to do, bro, I'm a very serious overthinker.
No, welcome to the club.
Like, every layer in my work, now I'm beginning to gain confidence. Now I'm beginning to understand that I used to overthink because I wasn't confident. Because I was trying to be sure.
Yeah.
And sometimes not being... Bro, I'm learning things that now that are like... I had this conversation with Oscar last night. It was a crazy conversation. And Oscar said something like, intellectuals shouldn't be artists. Yeah, because you are trying to be, you want to make everything work.
Yeah, like, bring that perfectionist.
You should be an engineer, you know, an architect and not an artist. Like, the process of overthinking is like, it's getting better for me now because going through the process, and like the process can be very tough sometimes, the ups and the downs. Yeah. There are times when you're like, this painting is so powerful, like I can see where this painting is going to, and there are times when you're like, what the fuck? I should probably be a carpenter or something.
What I say is, what I tell people is, I think I'll just leave this art and go open a church, and I'm not a Christian.
But then when the end process, when you sit back and you look at your painting and you're like, if this works out, you know, when you do that for like 2-3 paintings, you become more confident that even though the process doesn't make sense, the end result will definitely make sense. So then it alleviates, like, it takes away from your stress of trying to make everything perfect and, you know, and put it together. So yeah, that's now I'm learning to be, like, my recent works are like, so there's a painting, the latest painting I shared on my Instagram. I thought about everything. I used to try to think of the color scheme, the composition, everything. I've studied like so many works that when I want to create something, I have an idea. Somehow have an idea of someone that has done something like that.
Something close
to that. Or even if I don't, I try to find someone.
You try to find that.
But I tried the night before the painting, man, I was frustrated and I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning, bro, I had leftover paint and I took my brush, and because I wasn't sure the painting was going to work, so
I call it letting the art speak.
Bro, whatever it is, art speak, man. I took the brush and I just went on the canvas, and bro, when I had breakfast and I came back, I knew that, yeah, this was the answer I was looking for.
You know, when I first met you, the whole boot camp thingy, and hearing you speak and how you how you process a lot of stuff, I just know that this person is a really smart person, and I'm kind of like drawn to people.
The boot camp, I was asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's the thing, and not just any questions. The question, it's different when somebody just asks random questions.
Nah, people get.
And this was like intellectual question. I was learning some things from the questions you were asking.
Really?
If I remember correctly, I was, because I was like, oh yeah, why did I even think of this? He just brought this up, and that's really nice. And that's why I started admiring your personality and your career as an artist, and I think it's like really, really beautiful, man. Like it's really dope what you're doing for yourself, for the people around you, and for your career as an artist. And it's dope. Your works are always mind blowing, and your use of colors and everything. Like, come on, you guys who don't know Chief Fadi, you better. I don't know what you're doing with your internet, man. You better check this guy out. He is awesome. He's an awesome artist. His narrative, his technique, everything is just beautiful, man. It's quite awesome, man. You should just check it out. And we're about to wrap this up.
Thanks, man.
So, like, do you have like any words to give? No, they're as much as you know it, or maybe not, there are people who still look up to you. There are people who look, they might not, they're probably in your followers, just like watching your updates and see what you post. But do you have anything to say to the people out there, people watching this and listening?
Yeah. Omar, what I have to say is, I think what has always been on my mind is how this whole thing is, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yeah.
And I've always made the mistake of, trying to, you know, when you are running a sprint, you put in all your energy.
Yeah, all your energy.
But then it's a good marathon runner knows that, knows when to conserve energy, knows when to put in the energy, knows when to relax, knows when to rest.
Yeah.
And it's very important for artists as well. It doesn't work now. It doesn't work in 2 years. It will definitely work as long as you continue.
Yeah.
I know this is like, it sounds like a cliche thing to say. But then, I'm going to be like very sincere. Even when you think it works, it would also stop working. Like, I don't know how to, like, let me rephrase that. Like, even when you think you've gotten to a point, there are also going to be downs that will make you feel like, like, no, man, I don't think I can continue. So, one thing I've learned is that people that I look up to, what I've noticed that they have is like an insane level of confidence. And that's something that every artist should have, not just in your process, but in the fact that it would work out, like everything would work out, yeah? And we always have this distorted reality of, like, there are people at the top. So you have to work till you get to the top. But then, even the people that you look up to have the times when they are so down. They are not selling works. Nothing is working.
Yeah.
You know, they have bad times and they are questioning themselves, like, is this, was this a one-time thing? You know, am I still going to get back there? But that's why the process is always, like, its process is very important, because the same process that makes you understand that the painting will definitely get better at the end also makes you understand that there are times in the painting when you feel so excited and there are times in the painting where you feel down, but that doesn't mean you should stop the painting.
Yeah, those times when it feels like you don't even know what you're doing on the painting.
Just... Man, all you just need to do is create.
Yeah.
Like, anyway possible.
That's really beautiful. So, guys, you've heard it from the man himself. This has been mind-blowing. It's been revealing. It's been awesome. I mean, I've had fun. I don't know about y'all out there. And you already know how we do it here in the Artmosphere. We don't just vibe and catch crews because we're young people. We also learn from the guests that we have here, from ourselves. We learn stuff, we ask questions, we at the same time have fun, but there's always something to take out of the whole thing. And this has been another wonderful episode. And with my man here, Chief Fada, it's been nice having you on the show.
It's been nice having you too. Like, this and is my first ever podcast.
And we're probably going to bring you here some other time again. we really appreciate you taking our time to come be with us today.
Anytime, man.
And it's really beautiful. So, fam, for me, your regular host, KD Otaru, see you on another episode. And my last words, stay creative, stay young. Don't forget to have fun. Peace out.